What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Back on the Boss Man Show, friend of the show, brother of mine, the man's been on the show the most in my career. It's my man, Cal A. Fullerton, YouTube channel on the Boss Man Show. D, I know it's early in California, man. What is good, my brother?
Not too much, man. Just trying to make it, brother. Just trying to make it.
Yes, D, man. Hey, look, man. You're heading to year 14, man. You're still employed. You're still doing your thing, brother. We're making it.
Super fortunate, man. Super blessed. I think about that all the time. This has been a hell of a grind, but super blessed to still be employed, literally still be employed, because there's a lot of people that ain't.
Yeah, especially in this basketball business that you and I in, turnover is always high. And so I always ask this question. What has been in your mind the key to your longevity this long in a business where coaches lasting sometimes 1 year now? But 3 or 4 years, they change over again.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with our culture. I think we've built a culture that permeates throughout the campus, you know, not only in our men's basketball, throughout the athletic department, but throughout campus. We're able to touch different areas of campus, and I think that has had a lot to do with our longevity, but I think also the people, just the quality of people. The last 5 or 6 years, we've been really, really fortunate to be around some really, really good people, starting with the offices to my right and my left, which are our assistant coaches. They're unbelievable people, and they just work extremely hard. And we've been fortunate to gather a group of guys that have been able to not only buy into that, but execute that on a day-to-day basis. We had one hiccup, I would say, a couple of years ago with some not so good culture and chemistry. But for the most part, man, just our identity in terms of this is who we are. This is what you're going to get. And we've been super proud of it and continuing to build it. But it's no secret, in my opinion, in terms of you got to work your behind off and you got to be a good person.
No doubt, man. And you've shown that you are a good person by what you're doing today for me with my interns and just been there for me in that regard. And talk about your staff, man, because you have a tree, man. People don't realize you have a coaching tree and that you have some good people work for you and they're going to become head coaches. So talk about finding the right people to be a part of that culture on your staff to also magnify your vision.
Yeah, I think, you know, some time ago now, because I'm old as heck, but some time ago, a coach by the name of Mark Fox shared with me when I was an assistant coach in terms of the fact that I had good relationships But now it comes a time that I have to put pressure on those relationships to see what the end result is going to be. And so I say that to say that I've been very intentional with trying to establish relationships, but trying to put pressure on those relationships to see, you know, if they are good people and we can jive together, we can work together, we can vibe together. And if they're going to mimic the vision that we have out there, which includes, you know, the hard work, which includes the details and so on and so forth. And so we've been really, really, really fortunate to be around guys or introduce ourselves to guys like that. Obviously, you know, there've been a couple guys that have been on the other side of the fence, and we've done about face and try to get rid of, not rid of them, but try to get away from them as quickly as possible. And it's not to say that they are, you know, bad or whatever, just I know what works for us and I know what doesn't work. And so being able to identify those things, I think, is really important. It comes with a level of awareness of knowing who you are and where you want to go. And then more importantly, how you're going to get there. I think that's really, really important. And so, yes, we've had a nice run of really, really, really good assistant coaches. You know, a handful of head coaches in our league right now is Gus Arginal, who was on our staff, who we coached when he was a freshman in college at my alma mater at UC Davis. And so Danny Sprinkle at Washington. And so there's a level of familiarity with those guys as well. But again, I'm going to go back to that pressure word in terms of putting pressure. It's fine to be friends, which is important, but it's something completely different in terms of working together on a day-to-day basis and what you're trying to get out of that. And I'm trying to be productive. And we've been really fortunate to be able to identify those guys and work with them. And they've come in here and done their deal. And now they're moving on and can say they are who they, you know, who they are in a lot of ways. So we've been really fortunate, really, really fortunate. It's not like you just turn over a stick and or turn over a spoon or turn over something and all of a sudden your career goes 14 years. So we've had our share of success, that's for sure.
It's crazy, D, you say that, man, because I started this show in 2012, so that's 14 years for me too. So we kind of started the same path of doing what we do.
Yeah.
I started the show in 2012, man, and just like you said, man, I'm intentional about who I'm close to, who I deal with, and mm-hmm. I do put pressure, you know. Like, it's funny you say that because it's an example. I know I'm talking about it, but we talk about off air with my interns. Some people I thought I was close to gave me the cold shoulder. They didn't want to talk to my intern. They want to talk to me. So, but if they're stitching of me, you so what do you say?
Yeah. And I think you know, as you move along in life, you get to be in those opportunities and you get to recognize people for who they are. And as you mentioned, you think you're close to somebody until a situation happens and you're calling them and they either don't call you or they call you and say, no, I can't do this, that, and the other. And so that lets you know the nature of your relationship, but also it gives you a point of reference in terms of, okay, that's not necessarily what I thought it was. And now I get to treat it as that. And I think that is where people, you know, lose sight of what it is that they want is they get focused on how many people are not helping them versus the people that are helping them. I'm going to rock with them. And I think that's really, really important, especially going back to your question earlier in terms of how we've been able to identify just those people. Just hey, man, it's like you said, there's situations that come up throughout the course of time. And it's really important that I probably shouldn't say this, or maybe I should. I don't really care, but I do. I keep score.
Amen.
Remember that. Cool. Remember that.
Some of these dudes saw me at Lake Point and Morrow and in Swanee this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I say, what's up? I say, nothing. Nothing's up.
Yeah.
They're like, keep what's score. Wrong with you? Your text.
Yeah, that's the other advantages is very rarely do, or I don't know if it's an advantage or disadvantage, but very rarely do people take responsibility for their actions and stand up and take responsibility for those actions. And again, that's an awareness thing that you and I and the other person, you're in the situation and now you having a chance to okay, you responded that way. Cool. I took it this way and I'm going to move accordingly.
Yeah. Like it's funny. These events that they do try like it's all good. Like, nah, bro. This text this week I sent you, you responded to, bet.
Yep.
So yep. when you need me for something, want to promote something, no.
Yep. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, there you go. Man, I'm asking this man, I know you're really not sure why, because I don't get you in trouble there, man. But talk about some of the workouts some of this summer is be going on, kind of trying to establish that culture this summer, man, and getting guys into that mode to get ready to play this year, man.
Yeah, I think we were in a really unique situation in this portal-infested water that we live in. We were able to actually retain five of our guys, really six. One guy blew his knee out, so five guys from last year. And so when you mention the culture, when you mention on-the-floor culture, off-the-floor culture, weight room culture, you know, we had to a little bit of a leg up, if you will, as opposed to 2 years ago where we started fresh. We had 12 new guys. And so this year we're able to start with a leg up and really try to continue establishing our culture, how we act, how we handle ourselves on and off the floor, how we respond to mistakes. Because again, those things are going to happen. That's a part of life. But we've been really, really fortunate just trying to establish our culture, but our concepts on the floor in terms of our pace of play and the way we want to do things. And it's strictly offensive minded, but so far so good, man. These guys have been working their butt off and lifting and trying to grasp what it is that is an advantage for us in terms of our pace of play. And if we want to create 90 or more opportunities or possessions, whereas the average is like 75, we want to get up to 90 because it's going to test your conditioning, number one, which tests your mental. But number two, in order for us to be successful, we have to live in those 90 possessions or more. And so this group is starting to understand that. They're starting to pick those things up. And as we wind down, so to speak, I think we have about 3.5 weeks left. This group is starting to show some signs of understanding that and then being able to execute that on a day-to-day basis.
Steve, man, for you, man, you had a rough 24-25. We both know that. But the bounce back the way you did, 25-26, man, talk about this, the resolve of your guys, your staff, man, and you particularly, because I know people was kind of – the straps are coming for you. And you bunkered down and letting them get to you. 18 games winning, coach of the year in the Big West of 2026, man. So talk about just that showing their resolve. And you had that adversity from the previous year, but last year, bounce back the way you did.
Yeah, it just, to me, it just shows a level of resiliency in amongst our staff, first and foremost, because they're responsible for both good and bad, you know, and in life, you're going to experience the good of things and you're going to experience the bad. And it's a matter of how you respond to both. You know, I think Kobe Bryant said it best in terms of, you know, whether I scored 40 one night or scored zero, the next morning is coming and the next game is coming and I'm going to have to do it all over again. I'm going to have to reestablish who I am. Somebody somewhere is seeing me play for the first time and I want them to walk away and say, that's that dude. And so with that mindset, just understanding the consistency in terms of hard work, the consistency in terms of being disciplined, bringing a level of energy, being the best version of yourself, all the things that we have talked about throughout the years, they were tested both in the good and the bad. And being able to come out on top as the most recent is rewarding. But as soon as that happened, I was already in the lab trying to figure out how can we do that again? How can we regurgitate what happened, knowing 2 years ago we didn't like the end result? You know, and so just trying to stay consistent in terms of what it is that we are and putting the best version of ourselves, knowing that we're going to make mistakes, knowing that the bad times are going to come. But how are we responding? How are we showing up every single day and trying to show up and show the face that everybody needs to see, but also being who we are, man, and who we are is come hell or high water. I'm going to work my butt off. And that has been one of the resilient responses that you've seen from our program. And yes, like you said, the sharks are in the water, and honestly, they're always in the water. They just were showing their fins a little more last year than they were previous years. And so having an awareness of knowing who they are and that they're out there, that they exist, I think is important. But I think it's also important that you acknowledge those that are cheering for you, that you root for those that are cheering for you, that you are in alignment with those and working with them people and realizing, hey man, the other people, once you, they're out there, cool. Just like you said, when you see me in the gym, don't come and try to pat me on the back, man. You wouldn't shooting with me last night, you know, or 2 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
No doubt.
One of those deals.
Well, D, I'm going to turn it over to my intern. So y'all feel free to take a turn to asking D questions. It's on you all. So listen, I got the interns now, so they're going to jump in. So Eden and Balo, so everyone want to go first, fire away to D.
Come on, Eden. Ladies first.
Oh, I'll go ahead. Okay, my first question, you mentioned team culture earlier. What mm-hmm. encouraging words or insight do you give your players when they might lose sight of the goal?
You know, we're really fortunate to be governed by our roots. And so we have an acronym for that, and it's discipline, energy, effort, toughness. And not only do we have an acronym for that, but each word, we have defined it. And so when you get off of the path of those things, we just talk about the definition of those things. And we ask, are you demonstrating that? And we ask, you know, where are you at amongst those things? And so far it's been good in terms of just being able to call us back. And when I say us, I'm included in that. It's not a situation where no one or where anyone is above the law. We all are governed by the same stuff, expecting the same or similar results. And so it is easy to get off path. It is easy to, you know, wake up one morning and things aren't going your way and you get off path. And so it's relatively, I won't say easy, but we have a saying that you know, most people, they say, oh, we want to hold you accountable. We don't necessarily say that. We say, we want to lead you to accountability, and we want to ask you, hey man, is that the behavior that is going to lead to this, this, and this? And then you have a choice to say, yes, it is, or no, it's not. And you can fix it, or you can continue to act that way. And then I'm going to tell you this, you know, you probably won't be here long if you act that way.
Yeah, I see. Do you think that reflects in how your team talks to one another now?
Yeah, I think so, and I hope so. But it's something that we work for. It's something that we fight for every single day. It's not something that I just think that it's going to happen. You know, it's not something that I think that those guys coming from all different walks of life, they're just going to pick this up and then they're all of a sudden going to be governed by that. Nah, it's something that we fight for every single day. And then also, you know, when we hear each other or them talking to each other or me talking to them in a different way or them talking to me in a different way, you have to call it out. You have to point it out. And where's that coming from? Why are you doing that? That's not what we said we wanted to do. That's not the way that we're going to act around here. That doesn't lead to success. And so being able to point out those things are just as important as being able to applaud those things when they do happen. When I hear them talking to each other in a way that is going to help us be successful, I applaud it. But then also when I don't hear them, hey man, that ain't the way we do business. And so there's a fine line with those things, but they also need to know where it's coming from. It's not just something that I just pulled out the sky. It's man, it's 13 years of high tides and low tides. This is my experience. You know, I heard a minister yesterday, I had to go to a funeral yesterday, and I heard him talk about, you know, you can argue whether things are fact or not, but you can never, ever argue with my experience, because my experience is my experience. You don't know. So, yeah, I just got on the soapbox. Apologize.
Oh, you're good. Thank you. What advice would you give to student athletes about taking care of their mental health, and what resources do you encourage them to use?
I would say A, number one, awareness, recognizing how important mental health is. And it's not a cliche, it's not taboo. It is serious business that we understand that there are going to be days where you wake up and you just don't feel it. And I think recognizing that, but then also having some tools to help you get through those days. And those tools can encompass, whatever. It could be listening to music, it could be listening to your favorite song. But I think an awareness, but then I also think creating some different tools that work for you and not extravagant tools, not crazy tools, but things that are relatively easy. Things that you can do immediately that will help you get back where you're fine, so to speak. And I think it's really important that we talk about that just as much as we talk about X's and O's and all of the different things that go into athletics nowadays. It's really, really important that we talk about mental health and we are aware of it, we recognize it, but then also we game plan for it because it's going to freaking happen. It happens to me, and I'm 767 years old. It happens to me every single day. I have to fight for those things. I'm in my own head, so to speak, of I'm not where I think I want to be. But then I look back and man, we've done a lot of things. But more importantly, there are people like you and Balo who are looking at me and saying, dang, you've done this, that, and the other. And literally, it's not about that. It's being able to share my experience with you. And again, I got off on a soapbox and a tangent, but mental health is something that is really, really important. And it's so important that we hired a guy by the name of Jason Wells on our staff. And as a part of his responsibility, that is his job. That's what he does. He talks about the good, the bad, the right, the wrong of mental health. He's a former 13-year pro. He's 6'8". And so again, you talk about things that may be taboo, especially in our community. He looks just like a lot of the guys that he's talking to. And I think that's really, really important.
I agree. You can't perform if you're not okay mentally.
Ooh, say that again. Say that again. God dang it.
I think that's
Yes.
something I also learned. I just finished my freshman year at NCAT. So mental health was really big my first year, especially transitioning
Yeah.
high school.
Yeah, and it's going to always be big, especially as you exist in the different lanes that you are existing in. It's going to be carried with you no matter what lane, which one of those lanes you exist in. Your mental health is so important. It for a lot of way, for a lot of different reasons, it's really, really going to be important for you moving forward. And the fact that you're talking about that, the fact that you hopefully are talking about that with your peers, I think that establishes a different level of awareness that sets you up for success.
Thank you, thank you. Okay,
Sure.
while follow up with a question.
Going on, Coach Taylor?
Not much, man.
So you just mentioned you were 752 years old. I can't remember the exact
Mm-hmm.
number. So I wanted to ask you, how do you make sure you're adjusting with the times? Because I know like basketball, as you know it from when you first became a coach to now, has changed. The players has changed. So how do you make sure you're changing with the game?
That's a really good question. And I heard one of our former players say this, who's now a coach. And he said the ability to adapt is something that our program is really, really good at. And so for me, it is really important to establish a level of communication so that our players understand that I want to hear from them, that I value their voice. I want to speak to them on their level so that they can understand what we're saying, but also they feel comfortable and confident enough to be able to perform day in and day out. And I think it's really important from a leadership standpoint to be able to communicate. The one thing I did pay attention to in school was I had a I think it's a speech class, and they talked about the importance of communication, but more important, they defined it, and they defined it as if two people are talking, one is A and one is B. If A is talking, B must be listening to receive the information, to regurgitate the information from B to A so that there is a level of understanding. And if you're governed by that, and I shouldn't say if you, I am governed by that. And so when our players talk, I'm listening. I'm not talking over them. I'm not listening to respond. I'm listening to hear what they're saying. And vice versa, I hope that they are doing the same, but they don't have the same level of experience that I have. So I have to show them, in my opinion, what it is that I'm after, what it is that I think will lead to success. And so being able to adapt, man, I think is really, really important. I heard it best said just probably a month ago, a guy told us that, you know, you adapt or die. And I ain't ready to die just yet. So I'm just going to keep adapting and keep evolving and keep trying to listen to our players. You know, I think I have the best of both worlds because I have a 15-year-old who will be 16 at the end of this month. And I have a 13-year-old. And boy, I tell you what, the way they talk, it just like, and it's crazy, man. Like I like this phone that I have. If I don't know how to do something and I don't know how to work it, I just FaceTime them. Hey, man, do this. Put this. What did you? Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how they communicate, though. That's how they talk. Like, they're like another perfect example is my players. They FaceTime. Like, FaceTime, it is a big thing. Hey, man, I don't FaceTime with dudes. I just don't. I FaceTime with my daughters, but I tell them, hey, if you really need me, if you need to FaceTime with me, I'll let your boy. But that ain't something that I do. You know what I mean? And they get a kick out of it. They laugh and we joke and all. But they know when the stuff hits the fan, I'm here. I'm here for them. However we need to, however, whatever medium you need to feel comfortable, I'm right there with you.
Definitely. So I guess my next question would be, because, you know, as athletes, we have all been like the guy. And then we've also, if you play a sport long enough, you've also been the person who hasn't played as much. So how do you make sure the first person, like the number one person on the team, is locked in, just like the 15th person on the bench will be locked in? Like, how do you make sure the whole team is locked in, no matter the play time, no matter their roles? Like, how do you make sure that everybody on the team is always engaged and always locked in?
I think there's an agreement that we try to search for and we try to establish amongst our staff, amongst me and whatever that player is, whoever that player is, and getting them to understand everybody has a role. We all do. And that role changes almost on a day-to-day basis or year-to-year basis, but it changes. And if you're aware of that change as it's happening, I think you have a leg up. But then also, if you can execute whatever role you are, that to me leads to success. And a perfect example would be, like, we're fortunate. I mean, super fortunate. We have three players, former players, that are all playing in the NBA Summer League right now that's going on. We have the 76ers, Denver Nuggets, and the Charlotte Hornets. And this is, I don't coach them anymore, but exactly what you just talked about, that's what we had. I had dinner with them on Friday night, and that's what I was talking to them about. Like, hey, man, like, the role you had with us is different than the role you currently have and the role you want to have to either play in the NBA or make as much money as you want. And I think it's really important to hear, what are your goals? Like, what are you trying to do? No matter, in spite of where you are in life, right? Like, your junior high school, what are your goals? And then whatever your goals are, then how are we going to day by day execute accomplishing those things? And the biggest thing, in my opinion, is things may be different than what you think and what you perceive and the reality of those things happening every single day. But it's really, really important that you understand, whether you're the first man or you're the 15th man, you have a role, you have a job to do. Let's find out what it is. Let's identify it and let's freaking execute it every single day so that I know when I'm looked down that bench or our coaches look down that bench, they know exactly what they're getting. Vice versa, when you look down the bench the other way, looking at me, hey, you know what you're going to get because we've already established that. This is who I am, if that makes any kind of sense. That's a hell of a question, and I think that's a great question that leads to a lot of success and a lot of not success.
No doubt. Well, D, I hope you enjoyed this. I thank you for doing it with my interns today. Let them ask you questions. So you see they're very prepared and had great questions. Great questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I like talking to them more than I like talking to you. How about that?
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. They ain't quite got the grind I got you to ask you certain things that they get you.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, they'll figure it out. They're in the right lane. They'll definitely figure it out. But I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the time for all of you guys. Time to me is something that's our greatest currency, and it's something that you can't give back. And so the fact that we spent time together, I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Well, D, thank you for your time, brother. I know I'm all cheering for you. We'll see your Cowboys that do this year, my brother.
You know what it is. You know what it is. I appreciate it. Okay. See you guys. All righty. See you.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.